Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Runner's World podcast, themed all around the Skid Row Marathon. For those of you unfamiliar with the Skid Row Marathon, it's an incredible film about an equally incredible running club founded on LA's Skid Row. The film is being shown around the UK on May the 9th, and if you're interested in running, and clearly you are because you're listening to this, you just have to see it. A couple of weeks ago, I caught up with the film's directors, Mark and Gabby Hayes, and with Craig Mitchell, the High Court judge who started the running club. So Mark, Gabby, Craig, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. Absolutely fantastic film that you guys put together, and I wondered, starting with you, Craig, I mean, how did a sort of High Court judge become involved in a running club, or leading a running club of kind of ex-felons and recovering drug addicts? Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Sure. A individual that I sent to state prison ended up getting paroled to the Midnight Mission, which is a program for recovering alcoholics and drug addicts. And he actually came back to my courtroom and asked if I would go down to the Midnight Mission to meet with the people who were involved in his recovery. And I agreed to that proposition, and that is what eventually led to the formation of the Skid Row Running Club.
Right. And, I mean, one of the amazing things about the film, I think, maybe this is a question for you, Mark, is that...
It's the direction.
He's the director.
Yeah, right, I'm the director. Yeah. Right? You thought it was great.
It was fantastic.
Oh,
but
thanks.
I think that it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? You know, the judge and the ex-felons and the recovering drug addicts. But there's a real kind of equality, and it all seems like people are friends. Was that something that you really wanted to get across? Because it doesn't feel like there's a kind of divide when people are running.
No, I think, and that was one of the things that really attracts the runners, where they always feel that they come from different backgrounds and different socioeconomic levels, and that the running was the great equalizer, that everybody came and it was... You know, it was more important who was faster and who was a better runner rather than who was a heroin addict or who was committed serious crimes. So it was a great equalizer, even for us. I mean, Gabby can speak for herself, but she's a runner. And me, I'm more of a reluctant runner.
Okay.
But I have to say, before we started filming, the judge suggested that we come down and run for a while.
Right.
And that lasted, I mean, a month or so. And, you know, imagine running in London at 5:30 in the morning and running over London Bridge and there's no one out, the sun is coming up. It's quite alluring and quite addictive, and I could then better understand the appeal of running as a self-esteem builder, and you feel better. We would get home in the morning at 9 o'clock and we've already run 7 miles, and you feel great and you have a nice breakfast, and I really learned to see that this is I understood the allure of running.
Yeah, I mean, what were your first impressions of the club, Gabby? Were you kind of surprised by what you saw?
I mean, first time coming down the Skid Row was quite shocking for me. I mean, seeing all the people in the streets and the tents and the boxes, and it just felt like, oh my God, this is, what can you do? But then meeting the actual runners, and it was just a wonderful feeling. You felt like you really bonded with them, there was no class difference or anything, like you just felt part of the group.
And
just to follow up on that, I think it's important for the individuals who are in recovery to have relationships with people who are professionally quite successful. You know, it has been expressed to me on multiple occasions that they feel better about themselves knowing that there are professionally successful people who want to spend time, who want to have relationships with them, okay, who 3 days a week, several hours each meeting, you know, these are the people that I want to be around, and it makes them feel better about themselves.
For sure, for sure. I mean, the Skid Row Marathon is obviously based in LA, but we're in London now. You're here for the London Marathon. Do you feel like a similar club could work in a city like London?
I think it could work wherever there are people who need support and assistance. In fact, several days ago, when we were making the rounds in London, we met up with Running Charity. And that is a program that I learned about for the first time just a couple days ago for 16 to 24-year-old individuals who are homeless, who may have substance abuse issues as well. And it's a very similar program.
Yeah. Do you feel like it could work just equally in any,
yes,
any major city?
Yeah. Yes.
Nice club, yeah. Very same camaraderie that Judge Mitchell has encouraged on Skid Row. Mm. You felt quite a similarity with everyone getting along and having fun and a lot of laughing and chit-chatting.
But so this from some very serious mentoring going on as well.
Mm. Right.
Okay, no, you know, this is sort of where you need to take your life. These are decisions that you need to carefully consider. These are some opportunities that you need to take advantage of. A lot of the individuals who end up, you know, with substance abuse issues or homelessness, they haven't engaged in sound decision-making in the past, okay? Mm-hmm. And they need some assistance.
Why do you think that running can help with rehabilitation? Do you think there's something particular about the activity of running that helps people to recover?
Well, you know, Runner's World certainly opened my eyes to that reality. Probably about a year or so ago, I read a very long article in Runner's World that really put forth the scientific research behind what happens chemically in one's brain when one runs.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Well, I think that's a really interesting point, yeah, that actually there's some scientific stuff to back up what you probably already knew in some ways.
Correct. Well, I mean, intuitively you knew, but it's nice to actually, you know that there are universities who have conducted research studies, etc. And in fact, in that article, I recall that there are some recovery programs on the East Coast you have to run. Okay, it is not an option.
Yeah, right.
Okay, because there is such an integral connection between running and being successful in recovery.
Great, yeah.
I mean, running is a new high, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it
the legal high.
High.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Gabby, from your perspective, I mean, how did you get to hear about the club in the first place, and why did it sort of pique your interest?
And I'm a runner myself. I started running when I was 16 years old, and when we read an article in the LA Times, March 2013, so we were intrigued by the story of Judge Mitchell and that he started a running club. Mark and I lived downtown Los Angeles for several years, and we saw the problem and said, what can we do? I mean, it seemed so hopeless, and here we feel it's like one man making a difference in a small way.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be part of it.
Yeah. And Mark, I mean, what do you hope the kind of message that the film gets across?
Well, I think the message when you watch the film is that hopefully it's uplifting. Many people who, before they see it, they say, oh, you know, I didn't want to watch a documentary about Skid Row. Skid Row is one of the biggest stains on the United States, on California, on Los Angeles. I mean, when you see the homeless situation in London, it pales in comparison to what we're experiencing in Los Angeles. In the county of L.A., there were 58,000 people that live on the street, in tents, in shelters, in their beat-up cars. So it's way out of control. And Gabby mentioned when we would go down, even now, still 5 years later, we pull up to Skid Row, you cannot believe what you see. People with no shoes, people no pants, women, no tops, lying in the gutter. Mm. It's hard to believe that this exists. 7 miles. Our run is 7 miles.
Yeah.
We're 7 miles from Beverly Hills, from Rodeo Drive.
And I'm not exaggerating. We congregate in front of the mission before we take off on a run. We have encountered people who have died on the streets.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Wow.
And we literally are standing next to and have to summon the authorities because there are dead bodies on Skid Row.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like you say, that's actually a level of destitution that's quite hard to imagine, actually. I mean, Mr. Clay, for you, this takes up lots and lots of your time. You guys meet up 3 days a week. I'm sure you've put some of your own money into this with buying trainers and all that.
A dollar or two, yeah.
Yeah. I know that's a massive understanding. You put a lot of your own money and a lot of your own time in it. And that really comes across in the film. But I wonder, what is the motivation for you? Why do you continue to do this?
The people are the motivation, the individuals. I mean, I could just tick off name after name after name. The film looks at four people, but be it Raphael, Rebecca, David, Ben, Brian, Michael. I mean, the names go on and on. Looking at these individuals reconstruct their lives, once again, find meaning, find friendship, find a network of people who care and love them, and look at what they accomplish when they are able to maintain their sobriety. It's incredibly rewarding for me to see that three times a week.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. That's fab. Just a couple more questions, guys, if that's all right. Let's talk about running then, Craig. So your own running stuff. So you're over here to run the London Marathon.
I am.
Is this your first time running London Marathon?
First time running London.
And are you looking forward to it?
Absolutely excited. I mean, everybody I've talked to here in London indicates that it is almost unparalleled in terms of the crowd support. Mm. You know, the layout of the course seems really engaging. So, should be a really good day on Sunday.
Are you going for a time or...?
I like to keep it within respectable parameters,
yes.
But you know, at my age, my PR is a few years behind me.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
I think mine is as well, actually. I'm interested, Gabby and Mark, about the people you decided to choose, because I mean, it essentially follows, it's four main stories, isn't it, in the film, each of which are very inspiring in their own way. But why did those sort of storylines stand out for you when you were deciding, sort of putting the film together?
At the beginning, you don't know what story is going to develop.
Yes.
So it's a big risk you take. We had several runners that we followed at the beginning, and some of them dropped out and they disappeared. You never could find them again.
Mm.
But when we kind of saw the story of Ben or the story of Raphael, then we felt there was something there that we really need to pursue and keep going. And 4.5 years later, things really, you know, developed in a way that it made a good story.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, Ben's story is essentially a very, very talented musician,
right.
Lost everything to drink and drugs.
Right, and it's always easy to follow a subject that has a visible, tangible goal.
Sure.
Ben wanted to resurrect his music career, and then he had a specific goal of getting into the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. So that dramatically, that's always fun to watch.
Mm.
Raphael, on the other hand, I mean, I can't say he had a specific goal in mind. I guess, well, his goal was to stay out of jail and to get off parole. And he put himself in jeopardy. So he got into a little bit of trouble and was rearrested and risked being sent back to prison, you know, without giving anything away in the movie. And then Rebecca also had a very specific goal of getting a medical career going. She was, her dream was to work in a maternity ward or as a surgical technician. And she had quite a few obstacles. I mean, she had been arrested many times, multiple felony arrests, which are very serious in the United States, and prohibits her from holding many jobs. But she's up against it. David wanted to be an artist. And so we were lucky. We didn't know, as Gabby mentioned, we didn't know at the beginning who was going to be there. And the subjects and the quote-unquote, the characters kind of emerge over time.
Sure.
Luckily.
Yeah. And it seems like, I mean, you're very well stocked with some incredible characters down there, aren't they? I mean, the personalities that come out.
Absolutely.
Really amazing, yeah.
And the club has now been in existence for 7 years. And, you know, almost every week, someone new signs on.
Mm.
And a new relationship begins.
And it's about much more than running, isn't it? It's a kind of network for people as well, a support network.
Running is what we do. But no, in many ways, running is secondary to the meaningful relationships that are generated because we run together.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
People in recovery, as I have often observed, you know, they've made choices that have caused rifts between themselves and family members. Many of them are separated from their children because when they are using drugs and alcohol, their families don't want to have anything to do with them. And so here is an opportunity for someone who is oftentimes feeling very lonely to have a group of people who care about them.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's a fundamental human need.
Yeah, for sure.
The judge also introduced us to another guy who was, he didn't make bad decisions. He was more of a victim where he just came from a very poor family.
Mm.
His mother was away for a while, and he was living in a car with his dad. He missed a lot of school, and then the judge told us that he had some reading difficulties, and Gabby and I were both former teachers, as was Craig Mitchell, the judge.
Mm.
And we just kind of hung out with this guy, Brian Langston, and learned that he was interested in photography. So right. He helped us quite a bit on the film, always holding the boom pole and taking photos and stills that we always needed. So now we're done with the documentary, but we're still very good friends with Brian, as we are with Raphael. Gabby's German. Gabby cooks good German food. Raphael now loves German food.
Right.
Ben we see all the time. And so it's been fun for us, even though the project is pretty much done now, that the relationships continue.
This is one of those things, like when Brian's father passed recently, you know, the whole club was behind him to support him emotionally. Mm. As Mark indicated, comes from a very poor background. The club came together and helped take care of some of the funeral expenses. I mean, you know, there are many, many dimensions to, you know, the relationships.
Yeah, you can play that kind of surrogate family role.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it definitely goes both ways. It's a two-way street.
Mm.
So, as I mentioned, we're finished the project, but we still need these relationships, maybe more than they do. You know, Gabby some days says, no, I'm going down. We run in the morning. It's 5:45 a.m. that we meet downtown.
Yeah.
It's tough. We have to, we leave the home, our house at 5 o'clock, basically. And we need it now more probably than they do.
Mm.
You know, we need these relationships. It's fun for us to feel good, too, that that we have, you know, these friends.
Yeah. And there's a screening of the film on the 9th of May. Is that right?
Yes, on the 9th of May, we have the movie shown in 180 theaters in the UK and Ireland, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's an absolutely fantastic film. I got something in my eye a few times watching it, actually. It really is an amazingly emotional journey, and it's about... Yeah, it's about running, but also the kind of human spirit and the decency that lives in everyone, I think.
Yeah, and thank you, Rick, also for the nice article you wrote in the Runner's World.
It was an absolute pleasure to write it. We kind of dream about these stories coming along, so it was
It's very gratifying also that it seems to have, it hits a nerve here in London,
definitely.
In Europe. You know, that's very gratifying, that the judge's story is universal. You know, give people a second chance, and whatever it is that... people are experiencing, you know, reach out a little bit. And we've noticed that that's made a big difference, just by giving people a little dignity, by reaching out to them and being friends.
Great.
And then the more I talk with people involved in running, the more I become aware that other people are using running as a catalyst to do what we are doing in Los Angeles. Okay.
Mm.
Running is a great mechanism to bring you very close to people, to share intense experiences with people, to be able to, when you're engaged in a long run, you know, have the type of conversations that are essential for the human bonding that brings meaning to everybody's life.
Yeah.
And it's just really gratifying to know that, you know, there are a lot of runners who use running for far greater purposes than maintaining a certain weight level or getting a medal at the end of the race, but they're doing it to make a positive contribution to other people.
Craig, Gabby, Mark, thank you very, very much for appearing on the Runner's World podcast. Absolute
pleasure
to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Rick.
You're very kind. Thank you.
For more from Runner's World, head to runnersworld.co.uk.
So that brings us to the end of this very special episode of the Runner's World podcast. If you like what you've heard about the Skid Row Marathon, go and get yourself a ticket by visiting skidrowmarathontickets.co.uk. I guarantee you won't regret it. The Runner's World podcast will return in its usual format and in studio quality sound on Thursday, 17th of May. Until then, happy running and thanks for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.